We have to have the great exchange. You didn't think he was going to do it by you, did you? It was not going to be by your mind. What's the greatest lesson God ever teaches you? Number one greatest lesson God's ever taught me, you can't do it. Why is he so intent on teaching us that lesson? So we get it, amen? Except you can't do it. Because if you still think you can do it, you're going to restrict his grace. The measure of grace that flows from the throne of God is to those who come in dependency, who come yielded, who come surrendered, who do not come up in their flesh and try to glory up in his presence. See, flesh can glory in the outer court ministry because it's not a Holy of Holies ministry. When you get up into the Holy of Holies, you cannot. That's why when the super hungry people that camp out in the outer court, a lot of times they're building that thing off personality and they're building it off sufficiency, but their flesh can do that. But you get up closer into the glory of God, God will adjust everything. He'll do major adjustments all the time because he won't allow you to glory in his presence, not that close to him, because then you're stepping into a new day and new hour of accountability. You're stepping into a new level of accountability, one that will carry the glory of God. David had to find out real fast when he started moving the ark. Everyone liked blessing of the ark. Got up, was it in Obed-Edom's house? That ark got up in there and just whoosh, just five generations got blessed. Then David said, I want that ark. He had a good thing, but he didn't know how to respect the ark because he was moving from a new realm. And he started just moving that ark and they got real casual about it. And Uzzah and David didn't realize he had to train the priest and tell him, hey, you're not going to just move that thing. You're going to have to know that God's up in that ark. And so Uzzah starts and he touches the ark just to steady it and just bam, dies. And it just really messed David up something. He went to the Lord. He goes, Lord, I had your mind on this. I know you told me to do it. Now a man's died and that blood's on my head. And David knew it. And God had to teach him. He said, when you start dealing in the Holy of Holies, everything changes. There is high levels of accountability. So as we go up in there, we don't go up in there full of ourselves. Amen. That's why we empty. You empty first. Some of the greatest even men and women this generation, like Catherine Kuhlman, she goes, God wants yielded vessels. God wants yielded. You yield to the Spirit. You yield to the Spirit. You know how she used to do that? But she was dramatic. But man, she knew the Holy Ghost. She knew the dependency. You know, she let somebody carnal sit up in her front row. She picked her whole front row. She didn't want nobody around when the Holy Ghost come in there. She didn't want him to agree with anything because she absolutely depended upon his ministry. Total dependency because she knew if she went out there without him, they were going to get nothing. See, you get to that place with God when he unravels you and unravels you. So one of the greatest lessons God's going to teach is you can't do it. He's not denying what you want. He's positioning you. If you're going to ask for big things, you're going to function up into the Holy of Holies. You are going to be removed from that place because you can't walk up in there and glory in your flesh. So you have to be surrendered and you'll learn. You'll always have to be surrendered. It's not surrender today. Live my life. You get up in the morning and said, man, if I don't stay here, how do you know that? Because you've been exercised. If I don't stay here, I'm going to lose it. And so you learn, stop depending on your own self. Amen? Start depending upon the Most High. Go to this scripture. Proverbs 3 first, then we'll go to Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And everything that works up in your heart, the vision, the destiny, all of it's living up in you. You're going to trust the Lord with all of it, with all of thine heart. And he says, don't even lean into your own understanding. Man, you're talking about dependency. You're talking about a state of dependency. You just don't get there living in the outer court because outer court people can do a lot of things in the natural. You can get along. But you get up in the Holy of Holies, you'll find you can't do it. God will teach you that one. How many times have God taught you that if you've been exercised quite often in that fact that you cannot do it, raise your hand. Now, why do you think God teaches that? He teaches us a lot of things, but that one seems he teaches overtime, you know? Amen. We get a master's degree in that one. He has to. We have to get positioned. We have to get positioned with him. He says, lean not to thine own understanding. That's easy to do. My own understanding has gotten me a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. For the A-types personalities, you have to be broken. If you're going to be a holy of holies and be an A-type personality, you will be broken. Isn't that good news? Isn't that just good news? Look at that. All thy ways, acknowledge him. How often we do that? We're doing a lot more these days. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. I just found out he can do a much better job than me. I'm telling you, God can fix it. He can fix some stuff up in your life if you'll let him. If you'll get out of the way. But you can't be fixing it and him fixing it at the same time. He won't compete with you. So the art of God is get out of the way. The key of all keys is you got to understand what's coming down. You got to understand what you're accessing in the spirit. You have to understand what's in the throne of grace. If I ask you what's grace, well, it's just unmerited favor. Grace is all things that he inherited on your behalf. All things that he inherited in the right hand of God. It's a free inheritance administrated. It's called grace. All that he has for you, free unmerited favor, promotion, power, glory, all of it's there. But you got to access it freely, amen? All thine heart. And then he will direct your path. Boy, more and more every day I get up and say, Lord, you direct my path. Don't let me direct my paths. You direct my path. See, I give you control. The biggest issue is you got to give him the control. And that's hard to do, especially if you don't think you have any control. But you give it, you got to surrender your control. That's why he said deny self. This is not denying your chocolate cake. You're denying self. It's right to lead your life, control your life, guide. You're denying self all that. Amen. And look at this scripture. Be not wise in your own eyes. See, that's when you know you're getting closer. When you stop trusting your own self. You don't lean upon your own. Even in your greatest victories, you run right back to him and say, I don't want to grow wise in my own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. See, there was a strength you can draw from. Paul learned. Paul was a strong and heavily disciplined man, but he learned how to draw from the throne of grace. He knew how to draw the strength of God, and he found out this revelation. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was complaining about this strong man that was sent against him and couldn't get him off, and he went to the Lord three different times over this thing. He said there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him because he was carrying the revelation of the New Testament church. Even when all the apostles went back under the law, Paul himself pulled them back in. I mean, he was an awesome man. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. And for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Watch this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient in your weakness, Paul. He realized that everything the enemy was throwing at him, he understood a realm with God that it wasn't easy for a man like Paul to find, because it was a realm that required the unraveling of himself. And Paul was a man of great stature and great discipline. And Paul was a man that could excel in anything he did in the natural. And he had that particular nature about him. And you can read it about in Philippians chapter 3. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Concerning the law, I was blameless. I kept it from my youth up. I was blameless. He knew there was so much he had in the natural he could do. And so when he brought all that into the New Testament, he brought it in. And the Lord said, listen, what's upon you, Paul, is not going to be able to be orchestrated by you. I'm about to get you out of the way, so I choose. And I really believe this, because I caught this in the spirit when I was praying. The Lord told me, he goes, Paul was one of the strongest men of his day in the entire known world and one of the most disciplined of his day in the entire known world. And I chose him specifically to show my power in him. But what God had to do with Paul is unravel him. God had to take Paul from a place of his own strength to a place of his own weakness. That ain't easy to do when you're full of yourself. You're not just full of self. He was just full of sufficiency. That man could get it done. He was full of discipline. He could do it. He's 100 times disciplined than I'll ever be. He could excel at anything. I mean, that guy, just point him in a direction and say, get after it. And he was a bulldog, tenacious, had it. He could have been a billionaire if he had served in the world in the systems of money. He just had that about him. He had that particular quality about him. But when it came to the gospel, he said, Paul, I can't use that part. I have to take that part out. I got to remove that part of you and bring you to what you, Paul, would consider weakness. Absence of human sufficiency, where you're undone. Because everything about Paul, he depended on himself. He says, but then he found out, those things that are gained to me in the natural, I count loss. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. He knew that the power of Christ would rest upon him when God could get him out of the way. But he was one of the hardest personalities to get out of the way. The anointing just didn't come and set on you. There are stages the glory of God sets on you. And it's your ability to get removed out from under that shadow. There was a time we were in 290. And we were up in a major realm of glory. And I got caught up almost in a trance. And the Spirit of the Lord showed me in that trance vision I was in how the power of God releases. And I saw myself go like this. I backed up. He went in front of me. And I was hidden behind him. And through that, he released the glory in front of me. Now you think, oh, that's easy. No, 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 no. Here's how we do it. Father, here I am. Anoint me. You're still up in front. Difference between him going in front and you being in front. He'll anoint you, but not like that. When you get out of the way, the only way he'll get up in front of you is when you can, he's every part of you has to be brought into surrender. And Paul had to be broken. He goes, so these things, he goes, I'll therefore glory in my infirmities because they're working the plan of God and they're getting me positioned for absolute dependency upon heaven above, not in my own strength anymore like I've done everything else, but in his strength, in his grace. He said, my grace is sufficient in your weakness. But it's not just your weakness, it's your surrender. It's not in your total brokenness where you're just lying in a pool of blood. That's not what he's talking about. It's a weakness that unravels your sufficiency. You don't stand up there in you anymore. You don't stand up there. You're under. You humble yourself under the mighty right hand of God. And then he'll exalt you in due season. Amen. And so Paul realized the place, but he also found himself in and out. And that's why he said, I'll rather glory in all this stuff because I know the power of Christ is going to rest on me. Anybody walks with God close, you know, you get in and out of position. Everything God's working for you is position. It's all about position with him. Let me show you like this. Go over to Hebrews. Now, this realm's not easy to get to. This is the realm without measure. This is the one everybody wants. Everyone's prophesying, praying about it. This is the one they want. But there's a training for this realm, for the power and the glory, because this is a holy of holies operation. It'll affect cities. It requires the reduction of you. I must decrease. He must increase. But I'll tell you this, it's not so bad once you decrease. You have no idea how much you get in the way. You have no idea how much we mess it up. Amen? I'm going to sit over here on the sideline and I'll wait for him. When you get broken, you do get sidelined. But then you got to go back in and obtain the grace. I operate for years sideline like that. Just walk up in the anointing and I don't care anymore. You get like that sometimes. The warfare gets so intense. You just show up and go back home. Show up, go back home. Just depend on God to show up. That's it. You just live in sidelines. Now you have to re-engage. I recognize I can't do it. But then I had to recognize that staying there alone was not enough. Because then I'm just can't do it. I'm just sitting down. But now I recognize I have to do it with you. I have to get you on me. I got to get you on me. I got to get back up. I'm a different man now. I got a different attitude. I'm not coming full of me. A broken and contrite spirit. I said, I come. I need your grace. I need your fullness. I need to be clothed on from on high. I don't want to just sit sideline. Clothe me. Now you enter into dependency. You see that? Broken from your sufficiency, then you re-engage into dependency upon him. And you got to access your clothing by faith. You got to get covered in the kingdom. Because I can't walk around just broken either. I did that. The enemy will just beat you up. How many of you have ever been broken? Raise your hand. An enemy, he's just unmerciful. In your brokenness, you're vulnerable. He'll just keep kicking you. When he gets you down, he just keeps... He won't stop. You don't have the will to fight him anymore. You already went in the ring and he just KO'd you. You got over here and I don't want it, Lord. You don't understand. I don't want it anymore. I love you. I know you love me, but I don't want that. He tries to come stir it. Don't even try to stir it up. I don't want it. It's hard to get the want back after you've been busted and broken. It's real hard to want to get back up in that ring. Parts of you shut down. It's hard to just open that back up again because you got the memory. Because when you were fighting him in your own strength and he will KO you every time. But God's going to come get you on the sideline because he's got a whole remnant generation that he's sidelined because there's no expression out there right now. And God said, yeah, because they're all sidelined right now. I got them right where I want them. I'm about to re-engage them now. I'm about to pull them up off the sideline, and I'm going to re-engage them into my grace. I'm going to re-engage them. I'll have a broken people fully surrendered, depending on me, and I'm going to clothe them. And when he clothes you, you're going to walk out there, and that same devil that KO'd you said, come on, Daddy. You're about to get something. I got somebody else on me now. I am clothed with something else. That same man that you busted, broke, busted, and disgusted 5 years, I am not that man. That man is dead. I am crucified. He brought me out of the wilderness. He brought me out of that hole of brokenness. And now I'm clothed on. Now I'm coming back in. Oh, so you come back, you re-engage the Almighty. Say, I come back into the throne of grace. Clothe me in grace. Clothe me in power. I'm sitting right here until you clothe me. When I go out there again and meet that strong man, he will not meet me. And he will not last very long. Oh, somebody needs to say amen. I will take pleasure in necessity and reproaches. For when I am weak, it's then that I'm strong. My grace, Paul, is sufficient. Get up off your feet. Get off a place of brokenness now and enter into my grace. It is sufficient for the strong man you're dealing with, Paul. You're not going to beat him in your own strength, Paul. You're not going to beat him. Get up off the floor. Because he said, Paul, I'm not going to do this in your strength. I used your enemy to unravel you. Now, access the grace. Access the grace. Paul, my grace is sufficient. I only got 4 words for you, Paul. My grace is sufficient. And you know, Paul's going, yeah, I know about your grace, but I still got a strong man. He goes, no, Paul. My grace is sufficient. You've been doing it yourself. I've got you to a place you're ready to be clothed on from on high. I got you in a position where you're not going to interfere with me anymore. Now get up in the throne of grace and get clothed on from on high. Take that faith again and rise. Rise. Rise up. Be clothed on from on high. Clothed in glory, clothed in power, clothed. presence, clothed in love, clothed with honor. You don't understand. I've had 10 businesses and failed at them all. That's because the one God's going to give you, the strong man that came against the last 10 businesses, was coming at you. But the business God's going to give you, you're not going to lean on your own understanding. He's going to give you another business, and Jesus himself will be the CEO. And he's going to prosper you. He's going to, let the Lord build the house. You're laboring in vain. You're laboring in vain. You got to get past revelation. You have to actually come into reality. If I'm going to stay, then I better get clothed on from something else. If I'm going to stay, if I'm going to keep fighting this fight, I have got to get a hold of him. I must surrender. I come to him broken now. I don't even try to fight it. I'm here with you. No. I come in there broken. I'm coming low. I'm like that. I'm coming in. I'm coming in low. I'm approaching the Most High. I'm coming in. I'm coming in low. I said, it's not me anyway, Lord. Let's just get that out of the way right now. I'm coming in low. I lay it down. Everyone just come in low. Lay it down. Laying it down. God, surrender. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Oh, this is an easy word for you. It's not going to be by your might, and it won't be by your power. It will be by my spirit, and it'll take you 25 years to learn that. 25 years learning one verse. Boy, I'm about to take the next 25 years learning the next verse. My grace. Two verses. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Second verse of my life for the next 25 years. I got a verse for the next 25 years. Your grace is plenty sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient. I got a revelation of grace. I know what grace is. Grace is my inheritance. It's a throne full of inheritance. It's a throne full of what I can't do. It's a throne that'll multiply me 1,000 times more than I could ever. I know what I can do. For 15 years, I've still got a taco stand in the front of my parking lot. But there is another day coming. He's going to multiply me 1,000 times more. Because he ain't going to do it with my strength. And I don't even have to depend on me anymore. Don't need it. Don't need me. Shoe flesh. Self is surrendered. Self is surrendered. I'm coming in low, Lord. I got it. Just like Jesus, I myself can do nothing. Can do nothing. But I can't stay there. Man, I'll get beat up if I stay there. I got to get into the place I, in Christ, can do all things through Christ who's strengthening me. See, Paul went from weakness, but he found something else. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He wrote that in the book of Philippians, his final book. He got it. I can do all things through Christ. He knew how to get a hold of it. You're not going to get that if you still depending on you. You know, the biggest thing we haven't learned yet, we still think we can do it. Oh, we don't say that, of course. We're all humble. It's just our actions prove otherwise because we take the wings of a morning, one morning after the next. We just go out without him, go out without him, go out without him, get up, brush the teeth, comb the hair, go out without him, go out there. And then when we get out there and we enter trouble, oh, help me, God. Come and clothe me now. Help me. And I said, no. I needed to go out in front of you. You went out in front of me. It's a difference when you get clothed on. You coming in low. You stay there until you're under the shadow. As I get clothed on, then we build a hedge. Man, it's surrender, grace, hedge. Everyone say, surrender, grace, hedge. Surrender, grace, hedge. I surrender, then I access the grace of God. I get clothed on from above, and by faith, reach out, ask the Holy Ghost, now build the hedge out in front of me. Build it over my household, my children, my church. Build it over my future. The enemy can't touch my increase. Build it over my businesses. And I hold my partners up in my heart, up in my hedge. They may not have a hedge, but they got one now. I hold this congregation up in my heart because it's right in the kingdom of God. I hold it there under my hedge, which ain't my hedge. It's his hedge. Oh, build a hedge, Lord, build a hedge. Stretch forth your curtain. I can't do it. I don't want the enemy eating my increase. So, Father, release that hedge over my future. Release it over my steps. Release it over my children. Release it over my body. Release it over my business. Release it over my finances. Release it over my business. Release the hedge. Build the hedge. Oh, you are a strong tower. You're a strong tower. You're a fortress around me. Man, I got a fortress around me. I walk out there, I got a fortress around me. Angels of the Lord encamping around me. You know what I like to do? You don't need to look at me. I like to stir that hedge up. I'll stand in my prayer calls and I say, now, let that swirling wall of fire, walls of angels, walls of glory, swirling around the church, swirling around my home, swirling around my wife, swirling around my children, swirling around my partners, swirling around my future. And I just throw that grace up in my future. Just swirl it. Just throw it up in the future. You swirl that up around you. You'll feel the tangible presence of the Most High God. You've got to employ the weapons of your warfare. We have to walk in the power of His might. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's by His spear. Your grace is sufficient for me. It's a throne of grace. It's a throne of inheritance. It's a throne of everything I need. It'll make me 1,000 times more than I could ever be. Every one of you are dangerous people in here. And the reason, because you can be 1,000 times more than you ever were. Your fathers or mothers ever were. You can become 1,000 times more than what you are right now. But it won't come in your strength. The quicker you get that revelation, like Paul said, and Paul said, if that's what it takes to get me positioned, then bring it. Bring it. I just go up. Amen. Oh, let's give Him glory. Woo. Come on, Chuck. Come share.
Hallelujah. And he wanted me to share one specific scripture. If you turn to Acts 20. You know, this scripture, I'll be the first to tell you that I haven't meditated this all out yet. But tell you this much, just from looking at it for 2 days and just beginning to just dwell in it and camp in it for a few days, that something changed in my life. Because something changed in such that Kim, she had made an application for a job 4 to 5 months ago. This week, okay, on Tuesday, they called her and said, where were we on this process? And she said, well, we're waiting on you. And then this morning she gets an email and says, and they're at a conference, right? They're at a conference and all this. And they said, we want you to come down to the conference because we're going to interview for you at the job. 2:00 today. So that happened. So something that has been held up for 4 to 5 months, God broke forth. God broke forth in something that has already been held up for that long. That's the power that we're beginning to understand and deal with here as we rebuild the hedge, as we come back and be effective with the hedge and see what is in this hedge for us. Before we get to that one, I want to go to Romans 13. In Romans 13, verse 12 says this, the night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. Your hedge is determined by the armor of light that is around your life. There's a armor of light that you're putting on that's around you and it's on you. Because this light, this is, who is Christ? He is light. The Word says the Word was with God and the Word was God. And guess what? In the Word was life, and that life is the light of men. That's Jesus Christ. He is the light. He is the light of men. And when we begin to put on the armor of light, we're putting on Christ. Where I'll go, He said to be surrounded in Christ. What you're doing is you're being putting on the armor. You're putting on the armor. And you're allowing that light of Christ to rise up within you. And as you allow that to rise up within you, then it begins to make the changes in the circumstances, in the situations. You're not doing it because it's not your strength. It's His strength that is being emanating from you. It's His light that is emanating from you. It's His light that is going into every circumstance and situation. Be unbeknownst to you, you don't have to do anything. It does it for you. And your work is to enter into this light. Your work is to stand in this presence that's with Him. Your work is to stand in and love on Him and share in Him and be a part of Him and who He is. As you do so, that's the place where His light is working in you. And that's the place where the transformation comes forth. So your transparency before God is depending on that light. Our transparency is part of our hedge. The message of the last month, it all ties together. And it ties together even in just that one scripture. I had to get that one out. Go back to Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 32. Paul's speaking to the Ephesians. He's completed his work in Ephesus. He's about to leave and get on the ship. These are his last words. It's his commendation to them. I will give you the stoutest recommendation that I know to preserve you and to make sure your future is what it's supposed to be. That's the thing that's happening right here. And he says to this, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Builds you up and gives you all an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. See, what we have to realize is grace is not just some way, some cheesy excuse that we use for doing some kind of sin. And it's been misused so often that we've come to accept it, and that's wrong. Grace is the power to change you. Grace is the power for you to step into the destiny and the purpose that God described before the time and the world began. That's what grace is. It's the power. It's the inheritance. This is what LaRue said the other day. It's the inheritance of everything God has for you. And this is the inheritance that awaits us as we begin to step in grace. We have to realize grace is building us up. It's beginning to outfit us and complete us and make us whole in Christ. Because out of that grace flows all of our forgiveness. Out of that forgiveness flows the understanding and the access to who? Our own Heavenly Father. And now that access to our own Heavenly Father, we begin to get the imprint, glory to glory, as we stand in front of Him. And His glory is imprinted upon our heart and our mind. And it changes what we think and how we act as we're imprinted by His glory. So that's what's happening in this grace, is you're standing there in that place of grace. And I can't say that I've done anything other than just repeat the scripture, Lord, your grace is building me up. Your grace is my sufficiency. It is my sufficiency. I don't have to do it, but it's building me up, and it is my sufficiency. And out of this, Lord, you're bringing forth the inheritance that I have in you. You're bringing forth the purpose and the destiny I have in you. And that's all it takes. You can feel it stirring your heart, stirring the method within you. Your grace is the sufficiency. And he kept referencing Zechariah 4. Go there for just a moment, just to complete this up. Verse 6. The word of the Lord to Zerubbabel saying, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But where are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Grace, 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 grace. He will bring forth the top stone or the capstone. But guess what? That word top stone and capstone is one of the few words that I've ever seen that actually has two meanings, two totally separate meanings, because not only is it the top stone, but it's the foundation stone also. It's the foundation stone and the top stone. It's the Alpha and the Omega. It is Jesus Christ, and it comes forth because you said grace, because you began to implore upon His grace, because you began to pull upon the grace of God. It's the capstone and the foundation, the beginning and the end. And as you pull upon this grace, everything that God has from the beginning to the end is available to you. It's available to you. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to make all grace abound to who? Abound to you. Is abound to you. All grace is abound to you, that you may have all sufficiency in all things to every good work, that you can abound in every good work. Yeah!
Glory to God. You know the grace. Look at this. Zechariah 4. Verse 6, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Verse 7, who art thou, O great mountain? Before this word, he will bring forth the headstone, shouting, grace, grace. The culmination of the chapter. It was the transitioning from our might to his grace. The same place Paul found the transition from our might to his grace. Grace. You learn to draw upon that grace. You have to get a revelation of grace. It's a throne of grace. Because it's everything he did for you, inherited on your behalf, that you cannot do in the natural. It's the opposite of the kingdom of works. It was a kingdom of the free gift. A gift of salvation, a gift of inheritance, a gift of wealth, blessings, power, wisdom, glory, honor. It was a throne that's filled with an unlimited supply of life, righteousness, peace, and joy. And all he asked is that you cease from your own works so you can get mine. You come to the end of yourself so you can draw upon what I can do, which you cannot do, not by might. When Pastor Chuck led with that verse, and I mean, he came to that Zechariah 4 and said, grace, grace. Because 1993, the Spirit of the Lord woke me up 7 nights in a row and gave me Zechariah 4. He said, this chapter is a picture of my government and a picture of wealth transference. And I had no idea what he meant. Two olive trees. And I'm like, I don't understand. And it had to be unfolded over 20-something years of being able to understand what was in that chapter. But the amazing, two most amazing revelations was, not by might, this was the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Not by might, that's your word. That's what you're going to have to learn. And then the second one, grace, grace unto the mountain. And the understanding, we went to a year in the right hand of God to understand what was in the throne of grace. Grace is unmerited favor for everything that he inherited on your behalf. You got to have a revelation when you're calling on the grace. If you don't know what's in the grace, the more revelation you have of what grace is, you're calling upon it to be clothed on from on high. Isn't that awesome?